Take your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, as we continue our study through the book of Hebrews. And we're on the final chapter. Well, I ran out of time last time, and this is really the concluding thought from last week. As you're finding your place, though, I wonder if you've ever tried to turn on a television or something like that, and it just didn't come on. Now, I don't know if they have TV repairmen anymore. Back in the day, they had somebody you could take your television to, and they would actually fix it. I'm not sure you can even repair television today, let alone TV repairmen at all. But I know back in 2004, there was a man by the name of Chris Van Rossman, and he needed his TV repaired. But here's the funny thing, he didn't even know it. On October 2nd, 2004, his TV started emitting a signal, and the next morning the Air Force showed up to his apartment, along with the local police and the county search and rescue team. Van Rossman was reported to have said at the time, "I have a pretty spotless record, so I wasn't overly concerned, just confused. The police officer asked if I was a pilot or if I had a boat or anything. And I said no, and they moved on searching the rest of the apartment building. When they came back to his apartment, the SOS signal that had been emanating from his TV, which he didn't realize and they didn't know where it was coming from, stopped because he had turned it off to be polite in order to talk to the people that were at his door. When he turned off the television, he turned off the distress call. And according to the press, this was the first time a television had ever sent out a distress call, fake or otherwise. The alarm, finally identified as false, caused the officials to move on. But that really isn't the end of the story. They warned him if he turned his television back on, he'd get a $10,000 fine for jamming the signal, or those radio waves, that bandwidth. Listen, I hope it wouldn't take you $10,000 to shut your television off, all right? The manufacturer of the televisions felt so bad that they sent the man a new television. That was back in 2004. You know, in a way, you could say that his television looked fine. From the outward appearance, it was functioning well. Those that were watching it had no idea that it was broken, but it was sending out a distress call that only the people with the right equipment could hear. I remember back in 1987, some of y'all can't remember that far back for different reasons. Some of y'all weren't born, some of y'all just can't remember. But the company LifeCall came out with a remote button you could wear around your neck. And you can remember that now infamous line found in that commercial, "I've fallen and I what? Can't get up," right? And you just push that button and you could announce your problem and help was on the way. Can I tell you this evening that as a Christian, you can send a distress signal. You have not a physical button, but in a spiritual idea, you have a spiritual button that you can press, and it brings much more than an ambulance or even the Air Force. It brings you into God's presence. God promises us in His Word that He hears our prayer, that He is waiting to hear our prayers, and like a good father, the Heavenly Father that He is waiting and ready and willing to listen to our worries, our concerns, our needs. Maybe we're seeking forgiveness or asking for strength or even asking God to intervene in a health situation. Prayer is that channel that gets help from God. I want you to look at verse 5 as we think about the concluding idea. We talked about contentment last week, And it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, we talked a lot about covetousness. We talked about contentment. But we really just scratched the surface barely on where true contentment comes from. You know where it comes from? Fellowship with God. That's what it says in verse 5. You can be content with such things because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I mentioned there that there's five negatives compounding each other. And so contentment is a result of our companionship that leads, listen, to confidence. And that's what I want to look at tonight in verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 6 is really the final thought of those previous couple verses. It's the culmination of this idea. And that's what I'm saying is contentment is a result of companionship with God, understanding that we have someone who is never going to leave us or forsake us. But in that, then, we can have confidence. Look at that word boldly in verse 6. So that we may boldly say. Now, I've heard people sing. I've heard you as a congregation sing. And when it's a new song, sometimes we sing timidly. We have our nose in the book. We don't know the words. And those of you that can read music are trying to look at the words and the music at the same time. I'm just looking at patterns. Is it kind of trending down? Is it trending up? You know? And so I'm more concerned about the words, and we'll just try to hit any note that's out there. But you're not necessarily singing boldly, right? You're kind of timid about it. What brings boldness? Well, that word bold is used some six different times in our Bible. Three of those times, half the times, is translated confidence. Confidence. We can have confidence. What brings confidence? Well, it ought to be the Lord. Not in what you're doing, but in what God can do through you. This verse 6 here is really a quote from the psalmist. Psalm 118, verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? But not just that psalm. That's probably the one it's speaking of. But that same thought is mentioned over and over through the psalm. Psalm 27, 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 56, verse 4, in God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Verse 11 of the same chapter, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I think about those verses. And I think about how often we get afraid. So I wanted to ask you, what causes fear? I'm speaking about believers now. What do we worry about as believers? What causes fear? Anybody have an idea? The fear of the unknown. That's a big one. We all want to know what's around the corner. But I think if God had told us everything that's around the corner, we may not want to take another step forward. Right? I mean, Paul said, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord did not say, I want you to be 3 days in the deep. I want you to get stoned. I want you to ultimately be martyred. No, he just said, go to the street that's called straight. And so God often just gives us that next step. But we are always wondering and concerned and oftentimes worried, what's around the corner? What don't I know yet? And I think that's an excellent one. Anybody else have something that we as Christians fear? Being rejected. That is the second on my list. I didn't even have that. I think that one is a good one as well. But the fear of rejection. I don't know anybody that likes to be rejected. I mean, you just go up and just ask somebody to tell you off and tell you that you know, you're everything but a Christian. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants that. The fear of rejection. Get married, and you always have at least one person that's going to accept you. Amen? You ought to. But you remember when you were thinking about asking that person, fellas? You wonder, ladies, if he was ever going to get around to asking you? Now, young fellas, let me tell you something. You shouldn't ask if you don't know the answer, okay? But there's that fear of rejection, and whether that's in interpersonal relationships, whether that is professionally at work or whatever the situation, nobody wants to go through that. We fear rejection. What else do we fear? Being alone. Loneliness. That's number 8 on my list. That's good. These are not in the right order. I'm just telling you. This is 3rd on our list. That's what I should say. All right. The fear of loneliness. And that is a very real thing. And I'm thankful for the truth that God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And just talking about even in the Great Commission, how he's going to be with us into the end of the time, until the end of the world, right? And so we can have that confidence in Christ. But no one gets to the end of their life and say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have made as many friends. I wish I wouldn't have been so friendly to people. Nobody says that. Nobody says, I have too many friends. Now, I'm not talking about Facebook friends where you don't even know the people, all right? You heard their name once in a company, somehow you're now and you just, you know, don't feel like you could unclick their button or whatever because you're worried about what they're going to think. Oh, I might have just put something else on the list right there, right? The fear of others, the fear of man. What does somebody think of me? How do they perceive me? What are they looking at? And we want everybody to think of us the way that we think of us. Nobody thinks of you that well, okay? I'm just going to tell you. I'm just kidding. But there's fear there. What else? The fear of failure. That was number 1 on my list. The fear of failure. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail as a father. I don't want to fail as a husband. I don't want to fail as a pastor. There's no area in my life I want to fail at. And I think probably you're the same. We don't start something with the thought, I hope this fails. You know, you don't get on a boat hoping it doesn't make it to its port. And you certainly never get in a submarine. I'm not making light of the situation in the headlines recently. I'm just going to put a period there. You should just never get in a submarine, all right? Now, I was in the Navy for 6 years, but whew. How about fear of being vulnerable? Somebody will see that I have a chink in the armor, that I'm not perfect. It's kind of is very similar to just the fear of what people think of me, but being vulnerable is scary. It's frightening for somebody to think that the facade that I've put up is just that. Anybody else have something that maybe we fear? Being inadequate, not meeting people's expectations. That's good. That's excellent. I put imperfection, but not being good enough. That's exactly. You want to know what number I had that on? Number 5. There's a lot of things. The fear of change. Here's what I've learned. And those of you that I know are pastors or have led in business, people don't like change. You know, we say we've done it that way. We've always done it that way. Why? It doesn't matter because we've always done it that way. But you know, if you change something, and in 6 months you say, maybe that's not as good as it was, and you try to change it back, there's going to be somebody that says, why are you changing this back? You know, don't change it. Now, I don't have that kind of hassle from you, and I appreciate that. But people don't like change. They say moving is as stressful as having a death in the family. And that's pretty severe. I mean, that is... it's stressful, but that change and everything is unsettled. What about the fear of time? Time is running out. That's something I worry about. You know, you think about look down there and I think I only have 8 more years with that little girl to get her straightened out. Or 10 years with that one. I'm overdue. That's like overdue library book, right, on the last one. Time. You only have so much time. Whether it's in the ministry God gives you or the vocation that God gives you, time is constantly running out. I've got an app on my phone. I think I still have my phone in my pocket. And it has on there, if I can find it, 11,667 days. You say, what happens then? Well, if the Lord tarries, that would be what the average male would live to, born in the time that I was born. It's just a reminder to me that time is fleeting. I'm not saying I stay up at night thinking about it, but if we're not careful, we can fear the loss of time. That's why God tells us to redeem the time. Make use of the time that He gives us. So there's a lot of different things that can cause us to fear. Every time I'm tempted to fear, though, I think about Matthew 10:28. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that is not to say that we should spend our time quaking in our boots that God is going to destroy our soul. No, the idea is we don't have to worry about what man can do unto me, and that is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. You know what men can do? Men can take our possessions. They can cause a church to fail to be tax exempt any longer. And when and if that ever happens in America, there'll be a lot of churches that cannot afford the property taxes for the buildings and the facilities that they have. And if we have to go back to meeting in the woods, you know what? God is not bad. God's still good. Not that He has failed to take care of us, it's that He's allowing these things into our lives to remind us that we need Him. So man can take our possessions. Man can harm our family. You just see in the news the violence in the world in which we live. Man can physically maim us or even kill us. You know, those things are all temporary. If all your life consists of is the here and now, those are very big things. And they are big things. I'm not minimizing your family or your life. But I'm saying in the overall scheme of eternity, that's the worst they can do. That's all. They can't kill your soul. They can't destroy you. They can't send you to hell. This verse is not a statement that guarantees that all believers are going to be immune from all these different things that we can fear. It's a statement that is really above all of it. It transcends all of them. And we'll face some of those things to varying degrees in our life. And as I said, they're not an indication that our Heavenly Father is not taking care of us, but instead what God has allowed in order to mold us into who He wants us to be. You know, Psalm 118 it's a victorious psalm, which speaks of the coming Messiah. And because that psalm is being applied here to us, we can know that it's talking about the victory that we have in Jesus. We have absolutely complete assurance that no thing, no person, no trial, not even any temptation can hold us down permanently. When it says we can boldly say, it has the idea of having this great confidence. And we should be able to say with all confidence, that is the Lord Jesus Christ who is with us through those valleys. Who is with us when we fear. We can give Him that fear and we don't have to be afraid. Listen, it's this thought alone that has helped people through the ages face martyrdom and not reject the Lord Jesus Christ. What? I think the early Christian, it was Polycarp, was given a chance to disown Christ, to to confess Caesar as Lord. But you know what he said? He stood firm, and this is what he said. He said, 86 years have I been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who saved me? I'd read that before, but I found an extended quote that was attributed to him as well. It says, you threaten me with fire, which burns for an hour, and after a little is extinguished, but are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and of eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why do you tarry? Bring forth what you will. Now, I don't believe that we're going to be facing being burned at the stake. But whatever trials you do face, today, tomorrow, those things that have happened yesterday and are carrying into today, large, sometimes we think trivial. None of our things are trivial to God. I want you to know that. I want you to remember that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that can give you your confidence to be bold and boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I left out one word out of this verse. I haven't really covered it. It is so unique to me to think about God in this way. We talked about boldly saying, but we say what? The Lord is my helper. And we think about the Lord is my shepherd, and many people have preached many good messages on Psalm 23. We spent a whole year talking about the Lord being the salt and the light of the world. But I've never heard a message on the Lord is my helper. Now, that's not to say that he subjugates himself to us, but it does carry the idea of being our assistant. Do you know what a good assistant does? My granddad taught me this when I was very young, and I would help him work on different things around the property, and we'd be working on something, and he'd say, hand me a screwdriver. And then he asked me, why do I have to ask for a screwdriver? I'd say, because you needed a screwdriver. He said, you should be watching what I'm doing and have that screwdriver ready so that when I need it, I can just take it out of your hands. And so a good assistant knows what you need before you ask for it. That's the way the Lord is. He knows what we need before we even ask. And so when we do bring it to him, he already has it ready for us. Not the assistant that you get to tell what to do. He's this assistant that's observing and knowing exactly what you need. That's why you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Because he's helping you, because he knows what you need, because he knows what's around the corner, and he's not afraid of anything. You can say in verse 6, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As I said, that is kind of finishing the idea that we started last week. But I want you to think about in your own life, what am I afraid of? I mean, be honest with yourself. What am I afraid of? Could the Lord help me in this area if I let him? Well, listen, he knows exactly what you need. If you'll go to him, you don't have to be afraid anymore.